Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Julia.
I'm Tabitha.
And I'm Jonathan.
But not that Jonathan. You're Jonathan number two. Welcome to everyone that has never been on this podcast, and welcome back to everyone that has been on this podcast.
It's a smorgasbord of people.
Yeah, that was actually not bad. Once we clean up all the gaping holes of silence, we'll be good.
Who goes first?
That should be the Silence of the Lambs podcast, Gaping Holes of Silence.
Today we are, our guests this week are two different couples that do minute-by-minute podcasts and also are fans of podcasts. So we've got Tabitha and Jonathan Carlisle from the UHF 60 Second and Princess Bride Minute. And also Julia and Rick Ingham, front the hosts of the Mad Max Minute. Welcome, everyone.
Well, thank you for having us. It's nice to be back as a proper guest instead of doing a weird semi-guest host situation.
Well, that was when you saved our bacon because Chris was sick. And also at that point, you had not. That's just to get everybody's voices, that deep voice, that's Rick. And Rick hadn't seen the movie last time he was on and just did the minutes we gave him.
Mm-hmm. I had about half an hour of warning before coming on the show, so I watched the minutes at hand, and then I just came in blind, and I am happy to report to all of the listeners that I have since watched the movie from beginning to end. I am now educated.
Yay.
Didn't you watch it like this week or like last week?
I watched it like a day or two ago.
And that's true of you guys too, right? Tabitha and Jonathan, you guys just recently saw it. Was it for the first time?
We kind of like took Rick's thing and accelerated it. So we'd actually seen the first movie, but that was the only one we'd seen. And we recently watched all the rest of them.
It'd been a really long time since we'd seen the first one, though. I think maybe when it first came out, it had been a very long time.
Well, this minute begins with Krieger getting clamped and ends with Ethan hanging onto the train as it enters the tunnel.
Wow, that's all sort of sexual innuendo there.
Yes, there are a lot of sexual and a lot of clamps.
Clamped and entered.
We're finally in the tunnel scene. This is the final scene of the movie. It only lasts 4 minutes,
which
is super weird.
Yeah.
I was very surprised when you sent us the minutes that all of this was encapsulated. And it even goes on from there at the end of the week.
That's why I changed around the guesting. I was like, you know what? This is actually really the end of the movie.
Yeah.
This right here is most of the action for the entire movie. It's the most action we've seen in the movie. It's the most action you're going to see. And it all happens in 4 minutes. I'm like, let's just get everybody in here. Now, Julia, had you seen this movie before?
Oh, yeah. I was a teenager when it came out. So I am sure that I probably went to the theater to see it. I definitely remember seeing it when it was new.
Gotcha.
It had been quite some time, though. It was really nice to get a refresher. And it's one of those movies that's interesting to visit it now as an adult. It's a completely different movie to me now than it was when I was 16 years old when it came out.
Well, sure, these actors all have a lot more baggage to them than they did 20 years ago.
Tom Cruise is so young in this movie.
Oh, he is. Let's talk about that. Ethan, in this the first few seconds of this scene, he is already in the last minute. Last week, we talked about the fact that he had just clamped the Helikrieger onto the train and was now dragging them. And right when he does it, he screams. He's like, ah, what's going on there? I didn't know, because he's like not dealing with Jim. Jim's right next to him. Is he just angry and mad at Krieger? Is this like it coming out in this moment?
I think he's angry at everybody.
Ethan very specifically told Krieger no body count, and the whole flying the helicopter around and whatnot, like, you're getting a really big opportunity for a body count here, Krieger. Were you not listening back in Langley?
Well, you have seen it.
Well, that was one of the minutes I was on the first time around. So
it was.
I thought the yell was really weird, too. I just kept watching it over and over again to try to figure out why he was yelling. And so I didn't know if it was just a take that, I hooked you to the train yell, or his shirt looks really like a pirate blouse the way it's going there. And it's kind of like a pirate arg yelling. I have no idea. Yeah.
He should be, I like that. He should be judo chopping Jim in the face right now, but he's more worried about like, I got ya.
Right.
You're right. It is more of a gotcha.
I think he's letting nature and the wind of the wind through all that train take care of Jim because he's an old man. He can, you know, push him around pretty easily. The wind.
Well, also he's wearing a parachute. He's wearing a parachute on his body. Like not, he has not, he's also wearing a parachute, but he's also wearing parachute clothes. Clothes made of parachute.
Yes.
Can we talk about this outfit? We talked about it last week. We began talking about it. Jim is dressed like a breakdancer. What is going on? Why did he think this is what I should be wearing when I reveal myself to Ethan and then when I climb up on the train? Because I know I'm going to climb up on the train and Krieger's going to be there and I'm going to leave that way.
Yeah, it's a very odd outfit. It's like breakdancing Gimp. It's just so wrong.
Well, Jim is not known for his good decision-making skills.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to have another one here in this minute. He screws up this whole plan. He could have killed Ethan. We'll get to it when we get to it, but it's another minute of like Jim screwing up.
He's proven himself not to be the best IMF leader, you know?
He's not.
No.
He's not.
Our team lead, sorry.
I was looking real closely at like second 12. That looks like that was really shot. We would talk about this last week too. What was CG versus what was practical? At second 12, when you see that that shot up the wire, yeah.
that looks like it's very practical.
That's a helicopter attached to a train.
Yeah,
They're probably not going as fast, but that's a pretty good shot.
Yeah, yeah. There's a great mix of practical and visual effects in the scene. You know, I mean, it's really impressive.
Yeah. Like we talked about before, they did shoot some slower train stuff with Tom Cruise on top of it. That's why they have Jim in that helmet and those glasses so that he's like hidden because there's got a stunt guy for most of these shots. And then Tom Cruise actually did a lot of the real being on the train stuff because he's Tom Cruise. No, John Voight was probably there for 2 weeks total. So yeah. No. All right, what do you want me to do? You want me to put on a big, giant parachute suit? All right, fine.
I thought maybe that's why he was wearing that. Maybe it kind of doubles as a body bag, so if it just didn't work out, then just zip it up.
Just undo a couple of Velcro straps and zip right back up.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of close-ups of John Voight throughout most of this sequence, if any, really, until we get into the tunnel.
Well, once you're in the tunnel, it's all CG.
It's all on stage. Yeah.
I will say one thing about John Voight, or rather the stunt actor who's playing John Voight. That kick that he delivers to Ethan's ribs, that looks like it has some real power behind it.
I think last week we named him Ron Hoyt.
Yeah.
I think that's what we named him.
We gave him a funny name.
Sometimes hard to remember. Yeah. But yeah, Ron Hoyt, he's earning his paycheck. Well, he kicks him like to the, I mean, that's not even like the side. That's like his chest.
Yeah.
And Ethan goes over the side of the train and now Ethan's in peril. I think Jim might think he's dead. Obviously, he has no way of contacting Krieger. Way to go, Jim. You should really have had those earpieces that you guys always have. That probably would have helped.
Or learned some sort of sign language.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that later because later on, there's a lot of come ears with the hands. And I'm like, really? You're a spy. You got to do like that cool, you know, like that cool stuff that army people do when they're like talking to each other. And they're like, you know, you got to flank somebody. They have like symbols that they do with their hands and stuff.
Well, maybe they had those symbols, but they're both like two hand symbols. And he only has one hand free at any time. So he's like, I can't do any of that stuff.
What if ironically the symbol for bring the helicopter closer to the train is this?
The wave that he ends up doing. Right.
Yeah. That's probably every symbol, though. It's like, what?
The one that my child does when he wants me to come see what he's doing. He's like, come here.
Well, okay. I think obviously Jim, you know, in his poor planning, just assumed, oh, well, I'm going to kill Ethan, so it's just going to be me. And it's just going to be a real quick, I get on top of the train, he hooks me up, and we take off. You know, he obviously didn't think, you know, Ethan was going to survive and cause all this mayhem, stupidly.
Maybe they had like bird whistle signals and then they got in the train, realized that that wasn't going to work anymore.
I know the plan is always, I know the plan for this has been a sore spot, but let's talk about also this real specific plan. Was the helicopter supposed to come down and John Voight was just supposed to climb up the wire? Because it has a hook on the end of it. What was he supposed to attach it to himself?
That's kind of what I gathered, but, I don't know if there's like some sort of
like just a quick grab it and then clamp he, on and then yeah. just be whisked away.
Yeah, and then okay.
he pulls, maybe that's yeah, what the clamp on lift off
a pulley system yeah. that pulls him back up.
Another pulley system.
Yeah, yeah. Krieger's actually like trying to grab one. It, you know, and you know, winch him back up both his arms as he's flying.
And then a flying rat comes by and he lets go.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. And there's a bunch of rats
a
on
bat?
The plane.
A bat. Not basic what a bat is.
Rats with wings.
Halfway through this minute, they go into first of all, it's second 17, we get a great Krieger face.
Yeah.
This may be the name of the episode, Krieger face. It's all about Krieger's face in this minute. And he's doing a lot of...
Yeah, we talked about this last week, I think, where we were talking about everybody, that Jean Reno's yeah. just in like a helicopter, fake helicopter cockpit, and just... De Palma's telling him what faces to make.
Yeah, he's just being told what to do. He's like, yeah. look angry.
Look surprised.
And they go into this cool tunnel.
Oh, but I love the wide shot that we get of the helicopter attached to the train. I don't know if it was just me. I don't know if anybody else noticed this. But this shot, I don't know if it's the CG. I don't know if it's model work. But it kind of reminds me of Thomas the Tank Engine.
It does, because the grass is so green.
So green, yeah.
And the helicopter is moving around in such a quick fashion, it almost looks like it's just a miniature model.
Yeah.
Oh, it may be. It may be a model.
No, I think it's a CG. I think it's a CG model because it looks so weird that it's like unreal. So my guess is it's a CG model since we were still in the early days of CG being replacement for everything.
Because if you look at it, it looks like that whole tunnel system and the stuff on the sides and the stuff in the middle is what's CG. And then they just... lay that on top of a shot of the, you know, idyllic English countryside.
Yeah.
I did read somewhere that this is actually Scotland.
Oh, yeah. Scotland.
Not in the movie, but the shooting that they, the groundwork that they referenced was actually Scotland.
But that's why you're here.
But I don't know if that's kind of really true, because the article also said that it was Scotland and not France. But in the movie, it's not supposed to be France, right? Aren't they going
to France?
It's supposed
to be England. They're going to France, I think, yeah.
Yeah, you're about to go into the... basically, they're going into the channel.
Right. Mm. But they're coming from England. They're not coming from France, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So the article's already a little bit suspect.
Wow.
You would think it being 1996, 3 years past Jurassic Park, I mean, we can create convincing dinosaurs, but we can't create convincing... helicopters dangling by a cable from the end of a train going into a tunnel.
Actually, it's 95 because that's when it was shot and finished. So, but they didn't finish all the shooting or the CGI work until late 95, early 96. So it's, you know, it's questionable.
Yeah, I always find those kind of things interesting in any movie when you're like, everything is the Jurassic Park model. You're like, Jurassic Park looks fine. If you go watch it now, you're like, still looks fine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that looks fake is the little puppet raptors. Everything else, you're kind of like, yeah, I'm good. I'm actually, it's just fine.
Well, you know, and that's I think that comes down to also a good difference in director. Spielberg and Lucas, who supervised most of the dinosaur work in Jurassic Park, are very like technical directors about visual effects. And I don't think De Palma is that adept at the visual effects, especially the CGI effects of the time.
Sure. Sure, I mean, for De Palma, this was literally, this would probably be the most effects he's done in a movie up to this moment.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I think this about is the most effects he's ever done in any of his movies.
It comes down to him not really, like, probably not pushing, probably not being like, also it's shot in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Whereas Jurassic Park does some of the good stuff. The reason why a lot of the stuff looks good is because it's all at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to hide your errors in the bright, glaring light of day.
That's why all of a sudden it goes inside a tunnel probably as well.
Right. Oh yeah, and there's like lights flashing, so you lose all those imperfections.
Yep. And there's a lens flare
in there,
the early J.J. Abrams lens flare before J.J. Abrams was around, which is kind of
I'm sure he saw this, was like, holy crap, that's amazing.
This is little J.J. Abrams is like, oh yeah, this is it. And by little, I mean he was you're my age, Jonathan, like 20 something.
Yeah, little.
I can imagine De Palma working with the animators, and they're like, "Oh, well, look at all these errors." And he's like, "You know what? We go into the tunnel. We go into the dark to hide our shame."
Hooah! right, Brian. Hooah!
Yeah, he hasn't. There hasn't been enough sexual innuendo yet, I think, to conjure him. But
outside of the clamping and the going into the tunnel,
we're not in the tunnel yet. Once we're in the tunnel, he may come out. Oh, okay. Who knows?
Now, before we do go in the tunnel, I think there's where is it? I'm going to see if I can get a timestamp for you guys. There's one shot that pulls back after Ethan has already gone over the edge. Let's see where the shot. Okay, yeah, it's that shot that we were just talking about, the CGI, around second 16. It looks like there's two lumps of bodies on the train, both dark.
Oh, like one on top and then one on the and then it's not Ethan.
Right.
Yeah.
One on the side is Jim, and then up at the top that's that little like port that Ethan flew into.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was trying to crawl
out. That's what that is. Yeah. That's the top part.
Yeah, that port.
That other thing, that Jim blob, I'm gonna call that the Jim blob, is not good.
No.
It literally looks like a 7.
When you pause like it at that point, it's obviously a CG train and helicopter. I mean,
I've now blown it up, and over to the right is the fake truck.
Yeah.
With some really terrible shadows, and if you look really closely, that truck is not at the right dimension. This is the pedantic part.
Yeah.
Where the CG doesn't line up. You can actually see the line where they put the CG.
Yeah,
in.
Exactly.
So
everything's kind of a blur, but the train.
That there Jim blob, he don't look so good now.
Nope. It was, this was also the time of Titanic when they were trying to get those creepy guys, you know, how they walk.
trying to give them some reality in the placement of them so that they didn't look like they were float walking, but they were actually like stepping.
Yeah, this is, once we get in the tunnel, though, I don't mind the CG again.
No.
It's same as we talked about last week with the stuff on the train. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, this shot's only here for, like, what, 12 seconds,
yeah,
10
it's so
seconds
quick
out of the entire movie?
Unless you're pausing it like we just did, you know, it's not going to be something that you're really going to be picky about. I remember not being...
Probably took 4 months.
Yeah.
Four months to render this.
And 18 guys, you know. And this is before they were rendering in, like, you know, 4K and... IMAX and Dolby Vision and all that, you know, that they're doing.
Yeah,
it's
the same guys who made the knife, who made that CG knife.
Exactly.
Well, that looks good. That looks
good. You know, and I joked about it when we talked about the trailer shot at the end when they show, which we'll come up to in a few minutes, where Ethan is blown past the helicopter after the explosion, that it looked very much like Howard the Duck did. And they had that weird motion blur that they had to put on the stop motion stuff. They're still obviously using that in this because the images, when the images go by really fast, it's got like a weird motion blur that Lucasfilm and ILM used to use all throughout the late 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, to cover their mistakes.
Yeah, to cover their mistakes. So it's got this weird blur to seamlessly put the either stop motion or real life actor on shot on a green screen or blue screen with the CG or model work.
All right, well, let's move along into the tunnel. We get a shot of the transfer is lost. Max is once again angry with modems and the internet. They've lost their transfer, which makes no sense. So this was going out satellite. We talked about this, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
About how they're using a cell phone to send the signal out to the interweb.
That's not how the internet works.
No, because they've got a modem port. If you look right above it, they've got a little modem port, and it's a little phone beaming something out into the universe. Yeah, she's mad. Mathis is mad. Well, no, Mathis is, you know, not mad. He's just waiting.
Yep.
He gets yelled at, it seems, when he loses connections. And then I think Krieger decides, I'm just going to fly my helicopter into the tunnel, because you think you're going to get some big explosion, some like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade-style explosion, like of them driving into that tunnel, and nope. He just goes in. And this is the first time I'm like, can you fit a helicopter in a tunnel? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the MD-520N only has a rotor diameter of 27.35 feet. That's only 8.34 meters. That's more than narrow enough for a tunnel.
And that's why I did not look up any of that stuff, because I knew Rick was going to be on.
Hey, Rick, what's the diameter of the tunnel?
Oh, I didn't look that up. I was planning on the other Jonathan getting that information.
That's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I had the helicopter. He had the tunnel.
Oh, well, you guys should have talked before this.
And I looked up how fast the train would go.
Oh, good.
186 miles per hour is what those trains can go. So Ethan's holding on to the train as it's going possibly 186 miles per hour.
With his fingers.
With his fingers. And he's got crazy finger strength. He should be on like American Ninja Warrior or something. Cause
I think he probably will be at some point when he's 60.
Yeah.
Just to prove himself. No, I'm going to be.
I know, he should.
That's like 2 years from now, actually. So it's not too bad. You know, he should be on pretty soon. Somebody pointed out to me today that I read somewhere today that Tom Cruise, because we joked about it, that Tom Cruise is the same age as John Voight now while he's making Mission Impossible 6. But somebody also pointed out today that Tom Cruise is older than Tom Skerritt was in Top Gun. And now he's shooting Top Gun 2. Basically, he's older than Tom Skerritt as well. So he's just going to go through all these movies that he's making now and be older than his co-stars in previous movies, I think.
Speaking of beautiful mustaches.
Yes.
Tom Skerritt's mustache.
Yes.
Was a good mustache.
Yes.
He's definitely. He died, right?
Is he dead? Is he? I don't know. We got to look that up.
Is he?
I thought he's still alive.
Well, let's move on. We get our shot of the conductor in the back. We all know, we haven't seen it yet, but he's going to be the guy who either pulls out a drink or faints. That's why he's in the movie. That's why you have this character. You always need the guys like, I picked the wrong day to stop drinking whiskey. And it's always, you need someone. I don't know why they do that in movies. I wish that name had that trope had a name. I'm sure it does on some The Bystander, the fainting guy. I don't know. It's always that one at the end. It's always like, oh.
Okay, so what is he doing? Is he talking to the guys at the other end of the train? Is he in the
What's he doing? He's screwing around not doing his job because there's absolutely nothing to do in the back of that train.
Well, does this train go both ways and like it's just not his turn to drive?
Hey, there I am.
There you go.
You've conjured me. Hey, Jonathan, this train goes both ways.
You know, I'm looking up information about the Chunnel, and if this is supposed to be the Chunnel, they're doing it wrong, because the Chunnel has one bore, as they call it, one tunnel, and I really shouldn't hold up my hands to show a visual for this, because this is an audio podcast, but there's one bored tunnel for trains going to France, and there's one bored tunnel going to England, and then there's a utility channel, a utility tunnel in the Chunnel drilled between the two bores.
The for famous maintenance Dr. Seuss story.
And service.
Chunnel in the tunnel.
Yes.
the tunnel in the Chunnel.
So this has got to be some sort of precursor tunnel before they get to the actual Chunnel.
Is the Chunnel the only way from England to France, though?
Well, I mean, unless you want to take a boat.
Or Fiora.
No, I mean in a tunnel. Yeah, there's no other way to France. Sorry. You got to go in this tube or no way. Sorry.
Yeah, didn't you see Dunkirk?
Exactly.
Yeah, I did.
You could take a helicopter.
That's how we won World War
II. Hey, that's a good shout out. That's a good shout out. The guy from Dunkirk who takes those two kids over there, he was the guy. He is based on the character who was on the Titanic, the one who said the boats aren't full enough. His name's like Littlefinger or Littlefoot or Little something. He's the same guy. They changed the name, but in Dunkirk, he was on the Titanic and then went and helped with Dunkirk.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Huh.
And he actually lived through Titanic and Dunkirk. Wow.
He lived through both of them.
Wow.
Spoilers.
We need a movie about that guy.
Spoilers for Dunkirk, World War II.
No, the real guy.
No, he's dead now. It's okay.
We got to find out if he survives like some other massive thing like that, you know, and see if they can.
He'd be like 130, so I think he's
survived Hiroshima.
Or he's that guy like in his neighborhood, like the dogs attack him, and he's just, there's nothing to show for it. He's unbreakable.
Yeah.
He is unbreakable. So yeah, this guy shows up. My only note on this guy, and it's probably not the nicest note, is that he is, let me find his name. His name's David Schneider. He's been in a bunch of stuff, Death of Stalin, 28 Days Later, and this movie. And he also was in Mr. Bean, and not to shame him for what he looks like, but he definitely has a face for Bean. I mean, when Chris saw him, Chris, what did you say, Chris?
He's Wallace from Wallace and Gromit. He's the inspiration. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, he looks, he has that odd, a peculiar face.
He
yeah.
looks yeah. just like Wallace. It's the first time I saw this, I thought, oh my God, that's the guy from Wallace and Gromit. Only to remember that that's a cartoon. So,
yeah. If you wanted to sound complimentary, you could say that he has a face that looks like it was sculpted by an artist and just not tell people that the artist you're talking about is the guy who makes Wallace and Gromit.
By Aardman.
That's exactly
it looks
what
like
it
he's
is.
From Aardman.
He looks like he's sculpted from clay.
Yes.
Also, that gap in his front teeth is wide enough you could fly a helicopter through it.
Yeah, it's another tunnel.
How wide is that gap, Rick? Did you look that up?
So, yeah, this guy's in the back. He's telling them to speed up because if they slow down, the helicopter's going to crash into them. The helicopter is flying closer and closer, and Jim is holding on to one of those suction cups and the wire. And I think he's finally climbing over. I don't think he knows Ethan's alive, or he would have gone over there and kicked him off the side, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because now it looks like he's making his way to the helicopter. He's just assuming, oh, Ethan, there's no way he survived. He doesn't have the finger strength to hold on.
Right here is my big question. Why didn't he untether it right now? Do you think there's too much tension now?
Yeah, probably.
Because the helicopter's being pulled by the train?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. There's no way you can unclip that now.
Okay.
He does unclip it.
Which...
No, trying to unclip it.
Yeah, the helicopter needs to get closer, which I don't think it does until tomorrow's minute.
Okay.
Well, you're in minute 101, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like around 45 seconds or so? Isn't that what he's just doing?
Oh, is that
You're
is
right,
that
he
soon?
Does unclip it.
Oh, does okay.
He does. Which
oh, you're right!
There's two clips. He's holding onto the rope to climb up, and then the other thing he unclips is the helicopter.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, because
BS on that. I don't think he should be able to do that.
Yeah, I didn't notice because it goes from dark to light because they've got those weird lights in there. I can't see him doing it, but you're right.
But that's also why the helicopter gets so much closer, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
To relieve
the
tension.
Yeah.
I got it now. Yeah, okay. Great.
I'm still doubtful.
Nice job, Jonathan.
That's why I'm here.
Good eyes.
But I agree. I agree. That's BS. There's no way you could pull that thing off.
I don't think there's any way.
Unless Krieger
Krieger
lurched forward, and you know.
Do they have hand signals for that? Like, okay, I'm gonna lurch forward. You unclip it. And 3, 2, 1, go.
That makes me wonder, why doesn't the helicopter have an emergency release on that tether?
Yeah, on the other side.
Right. He just got pulled into the channel. That's ridiculous. He shouldn't have been put in that position. He should have been able to emergency release himself.
Now, yeah. Isn't also the tether now dragging along the tracks as well? Isn't it going to get caught on something?
Oh, my God. Just unlike on the actual track. Like just and the helicopter just screeches to a halt and Krieger goes flying out.
Yeah. It probably does have like a motorized winch to suck it back up.
I mean, if we want to pick nits, technically helicopter should have crashed the first time it sparked against the top of the tunnel.
Sure.
Rotors need to spin at a very fast velocity, at a very consistent
spin. And they keep nicking things as they go. Yeah. I mean, later on, they're going to nick some more stuff again, and he nicks it good in the next few minutes. And it still works. I guess what's the style of this helicopter? Which one is this?
Oh, it's the
MD-40.
It's the MD-520N.
Oh, I was just kidding about the MD. I got that part right? Wow. Who knew?
The 520N model is the one without the rear rotor, which actually cuts down on the noise quite a bit.
I was going to say something about that.
It also has a vent right underneath the top rotor that lets it get some extra forward thrust.
Hey-oh! Thrust! There you go. Here we are again. Well, and that's where this minute ends. This minute ends with...
thrusting.
Ethan stuck... thrusting. Ethan on the side of the train and Jim hanging on to a windshield wiper about to climb onto the Helikrieger.
I do have one thing. I got to bring back up Chuck, the TV show. There was an episode, Chuck versus the Bullet Train, season 5, episode 11. Surprisingly enough, Chuck, they don't, in that episode, they don't actually go outside the train and do all that craziness. But they do have a little bit in there where they have to download a file, and that file does not get downloaded. So a little match up with this minute here.
All right. Well, I'll put a link to that. I had to do that last time you brought up Chuck. So now I'm going to have to, I'm gonna have to do it again. We'll add it to it. I need to rewatch that show. That was a good show.
It's pretty good. Season five is a little questionable, I guess, but it's good.
All right, it's got the Jonathan Carlyle kind of seal of approval.
Seasons 1, 2 are really good. 3 and 4 are pretty good. Season 5's, yeah.
I had to ask him to turn it off today. I'm like, why are you still watching that Bullet Train episode? It's like the saddest episode. Spoilers. Turn it off.
I'll have to watch that. Now I'm intrigued. All right, well, then what we'll do is we'll all go our separate ways and then come back tomorrow. Can you guys come back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can come back at least. I'll be here.
All right. I mean, Tabitha's here. Great.
Say, we'll be here.
Yeah,
that's for
we'll
sure.
be here.
Awesome.
Like, where else do we have to go? We're stuck in a tunnel.
We've got 6 people. So what we're going to do, because we're at the end of the week, we're going to do some tech of the movie. Let's do some quick tech of the eps that we see in this episode, but keep it. I'm going to time you. You have less than 1 minute for each one, each person. How's that arbitrary rule sound? So I'm going to start with Jonathan Carlyle.
I'm going to go with the clamp that's holding the helicopter down. It sounds like a really stupid tech of the ep because the helicopter is handling it dumb. But Ethan's purpose, that's the tech of the ep.
I like it. Tabitha.
I was actually going to say the clamp and cable as well, because that leads to the whole downfall of Jim.
I'm sorry, you're our new guest. You can't do that. You have to pick something else.
I don't have anything else.
Riff.
Do I really have to pick something else?
No. Julia, what about you?
Okay, I didn't know about this tech of the ep thing.
Rick.
So no, but I got one.
Okay.
The whole internet modem thing set up that they've got.
Always good.
Yes. I love 90s internet. It's so primitive compared to what we have now. I love those visuals. They're fantastic.
Me too. Rick, what about you?
Oh, I definitely have to go with the helicopter itself. Oh. Just because of the innovation in the tail where they actually did away with the rear rotor, and they're using forced air thrusting.
Sorry, Rick. Time's up.
But it's really cool the way they've done that.
We'll put a link up to this helicopter that Rick has fallen in love with. Watch out, Julia.
www.mdhelicopters.com.
Really? That's their website? That's pretty awesome.
That's their website.
Oh, we're going to go check it out. Chris, what about you?
I'm going with Tom's powerful fingers that are letting him hold on.
Oh, power fingers. I'm going with something also on Tom, but this is something. See, Tabitha, this is what you could have said. The pirate shirt.
Oh, I could have.
I don't want to be that a pirate.
That pirate shirt's awesome. And he does yell "Arr!" really loud.
It is pretty, pretty awesome.
He is a pirate in this episode, and it's awesome. It's just looking for something new that he does. And this is so uncharacteristic to him in every other movie and in this movie. It's just so such an odd moment. So that's my tech of the episode.
Yeah, now he'd be doing it shirtless, probably.
Oh, yeah. Hookah.
Hookah.
As long as he's running, I'm good with it.
All right.
Can I make a quick little addendum to what I said? The technology that the helicopter uses, they call it the notar system. As like, you know how normally they have a rotor? This is a notar. NOTAR.
Like, let's turn on the rotor.
Like there is no rotor?
Notar.
Exactly. Like, there's no rotor. It's a notar.
That's awesome.
You're lucky Tabitha's here. It's being so positive about this dumb crap.
I'll take whatever approval I can get.
Well, good.
Rick, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Aw. Everybody's saying they love each other. This is fantastic. Aww. Well, one thing I do love is your podcasts. So please, it is now time to promote those podcasts. Let's start with Rick and Julia. Promote away.
We are from the Mad Max Minute Podcast. We go through the Mad Max movies 1 minute at a time. You can find us at madmaxminute.com. We are on Facebook with Mad Max Minute and our listener page, Mad Max Minute Beyond Microphone. We're on Twitter at Mad Max Minute, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and that other one, I think it's called TuneIn.
Oh, yeah, that's the one that works on the Alexa. That's what we were all geeking out about today.
Oh, yeah, I've heard
mine now. About that. Mine now works on Alexa, but it says minute impossible.
Minute impossible.
It's just a little impossible.
Like, you would like to listen to minute impossible. Oh, well.
Good enough. At least there's not saying minuto impossible.
That's exactly what I was
saying. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Constantly cycling cast of hosts. That'd be impossible. Oh.
All right, Carlisles. It's your turn. What would you like to promote?
Well, we're kind of in between things at the moment. The Princess Bride Minute is all done, so you can go back and listen to all of that. You can find that at theprincessbrideminute.com.
As you wish.
Mm-hmm. And I do not think that means what you think it means. And
inconceivable.
We are working on, if you search for UHF 62nd, that's UHF 62ND, you will find some stuff. We just haven't actually started the podcast proper yet, but we do have some episodes there just to get people's appetites going, and yeah. So you can find that at uhs62nd.com. We do have a Facebook group, is Town Talk with UHF 62nd. We are on Twitter, although we're not very active on Twitter, but you can find us there.
We're Minute Impossible. You can find us everywhere with the word Minute Impossible or Minute Impossible. That works also. We're on Twitter, our Facebook group's The Impossible Minute Force, and we have a Patreon at patreon.com/minuteimpossible. And we have t-shirts.
Ooh.
Go buy some t-shirts. Yay. At TeePublic. We have a Man Down Ethan t-shirt, a Tech of the Ep t-shirt, a Liquid Awareness t-shirt that has directly to do with Jonathan. Yeah. We'll probably have some other t-shirts up by the time this one comes out. But until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Rick.
I've been Julia.
I've been Tabitha.
And I've been Jonathan.
What's a Jonathan sandwich? Right,
oh, yeah. Oh,
not that again.
You've been here before. Yes. This minute will self-destruct.